This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN1290.ca, brought to you by MTS.
Halfway done the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for this Saturday afternoon. We are in the midst of our trade deadline preview, going division by division, team by team, breaking down what could, may, might, should, sorta,
will
happen on Monday and the NHL trade deadline. This segment brought to you by Not Auto Carp. Be sure to visit their beautiful new luxury auto and art gallery at the corner of Waverly and McGilvery. For more information, check them out online at notautocorp.com. Shifting our focus to the Pacific Division, I want to start with a team that I think is a real wild card for this coming Monday, and that's the San Jose Sharks. Presently out of a playoff spot in the Western Conference for the first time in, was it 10 years, 12 years?
Who would have expected a team with no with inner strife and a captain who they want to trade, doesn't want to get traded, or a guy they took the captaincy off of and a guy they took him off of 4 years ago? And it, like, who would have expected the team to struggle without a goaltender they have any confidence in? With a, like, I mean,
yeah,
come on,
no argument there. Anyways, the Sharks currently out of a playoff spot, 3 points behind Minnesota for the final playoff spot. The Wild with a game in hand, you know. Are the San Jose Sharks buyers? Are they sellers? How do they play this trade deadline upcoming on Monday?
I think they're a little bit on the fence, but I think if you're on the fence, you're leaning towards the side of the fence that's a buyer, because they're still in the playoff picture here. And obviously they're coming from behind now, but to me, this team, you know, still has some of the same issues it's had for several years now, Richie, and Antti Niemi hasn't had the best year.
Need a goalie.
And you need a goalie.
Definitely,
if not for the future, pardon me, the short term, then you need a goalie for the future. But to me, you know, you lost Dan Boyle, and Dan Boyle, you know, he might be getting towards the end of his career. Uh-huh. But so Brent Burns moves back to defense, and, you know, he's put up the offensive numbers, but he hasn't been a strong defensively. I think Brent Burns is better at forward, personally, and I've said that many times on the show before. But to me, they need to bring in a defenseman. And
two defensemen if they move Burns up.
That's always a possibility. We've seen Buff move up on Winnipeg, so it's always a possibility, Richie. But, you know, the forward group is, you know, it's gotten younger. We've seen, you know, guys like Havlat have been traded away or haven't been re-signed. And, you know, you've got guys like Nieto have come in and Hurdle and all these guys. And you know, you still have the core of that team, which is really good. Sure, maybe Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau aren't what they were 5 years ago, but these are still guys that are productive NHLers. Mm-hmm. And Pavelski and Couture have both had really good years. But to me, you know, you saw earlier in the season, Brendan Dillon was brought in for Jason Demers. And it was kind of, Richie, like they traded a similar defenseman for a similar defenseman. Different types of games, but
well,
really...
Demers is a puck mover. Dillon is a rugged guy.
But similar in the sense that they aren't number one or number two. They're second pairing, third pairing guys on a lot of teams. And, you know, this defense is still led by Mark-Edward Vlasic. He's a top 20 defenseman any day of the week for me. But to me, you got to bring in someone else there, you know, for example, to fill in the role of like a Scott Hannon would play. So I mean, if you're able to bring in a Jeff Petrie or even one of these offensive guys like a rental, like a Keith Yandle or a Mike Green, this team to me still isn't as fast from the back end as they used to be. So to me, that's more of a concern. If you can bring in a forward,
well, they're not. Yeah, you lose Demers, you put Dillon, and you're not going to be as good of a skater, right? I mean, you know, this is the thing. I agree with as you're saying there. First off, they need a goalie. That's the biggest thing they need.
They don't even have one in the system, really, that I think is any time close to reaching the NHL. They don't have the confidence in Alex Stalock that he's going to be the heir apparent or anything.
So that's the first thing you need. You need a guy who can play top nine, whether it be at center or top six winger or both, frankly. You know, and then maybe it is, like as you mentioned, you throw Burns up there with Thornton and you get a defenseman and you know, there you go. But you also have a bottom six need on your defense. Yeah, Hannon and Irwin, I'm not going to love that combination, especially against three-line teams like Los Angeles and Anaheim you're going to be going through. So you need a bottom pairing D, you need a top six forward, probably a top nine forward too, at least one or the other, and a goaltender. You're going to get those all at the trade deadline? It'll be tough.
Moving on to the Los Angeles Kings, the opponent for the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow here at MTS Center. They already acquired Andre Sequeira in exchange for a first-round pick.
They really have no needs, Drew. Their only need would be maybe another defenseman if Martinez's issues and injury issues don't subside. I think he's got a concussion issues right now. So that'd be the one thing, maybe wanting to, you know, solidify that back end with another veteran guy that would cost very little. But up front, I mean, they don't really have a need. I mean, come on. And there's many teams that would give their trade their 12 for almost every team would probably trade their 12 for LA's 12. So I don't see many needs up front.
No, they don't have any needs. I'm looking again, you know, going back to watching that game last night, you know, they were up 2-0 on Anaheim and they blew that lead, unfortunately. But thinking of a guy like Chris Stewart, who's a big guy, could fit in, but
he can skate too. Yeah.
He can skate, but
they can use some speed.
But the thing is, you got, again, Tanner Pearson was a key part of that 70s line. Dwight King is playing on that line right now. As Richie mentioned, you know, you brought in Andre Sequeira, and so maybe you try to bring in a depth defenseman. You know, that Braden McNabb is, I don't know if Daryl Sutter has a lot of confidence in him. Once you get up against a team like Anaheim, for example,
yeah,
who has arguably the top five forward depth in the NHL, are you confident in a guy like Braden McNabb who has no playoff experience? I don't mean to pick on Braden McNabb.
And McBain,
I'm just saying,
defensively.
That's probably your need there. You're obviously not, you know, you're good in goal and you're good at forward. And, you know, I'm fairly certain that, you know, Dean Lombardi knows that right now his team is playing like he wants them to play, and he doesn't feel the pressure maybe that he did earlier to make a trade.
Yeah. Arizona Coyotes. This is a team that's obviously in the midst of a rebuild. Terrible year. Their free agents, Vermette, Martin Irat, David Moss.
Try and trade all of them.
Zibanejad Mihalik, who's
Try and trade him too, he's injured.
Then what about Keith Yandle?
You try and trade Keith Yandle if you can. You try and trade Sam Gagne if you can. Gagne's got another year in his deal, and I believe Yandle also has another year in his deal. So that's a factor there, of course.
Is there anyone the Coyotes aren't listening on? If you call up and you want to talk about Oliver Ekman-Larsson, are they listening to you?
No, they're not listening.
No, they're building their defense around him. He's a top 10 defenseman. He's the only untouchable, right, Rich?
The only untouchable on the team. Yeah. Yandle has a year left on his contract. Shane Doan has a year left on his contract.
Maybe Max Domi's untouchable?
Domi's untouchable. I mean, some guys in the system are untouchable, mm-hmm. but Ekman-Larsson's the only roster player who's untouchable.
Yeah, and to me, I think Arizona is going to be one of the most interesting teams to watch, because you've already started to see Toronto unload. You've already started to see Edmonton unload. But it's pretty clear, Drew, that this year Arizona is going to be at least 1 or 2, 3 years away from coming close to getting back in the playoffs. We saw it with Colorado mm-hmm. getting Nathan MacKinnon, and Arizona is pretty close to the bottom of the standings, but they're almost, you know, they're not quite at the bottom. There's always a chance they get a Connor McDavid or a Jack Eichel.
Yep.
But I don't think they have enough players around to start that rebuild, to have the quick rebuild like Colorado had. So I look at the Arizona Coyotes, and Richie's right. If you're going to get some high draft picks, you know, Sam Gagne is an interesting one, Richie, because he hasn't had the best year, but he's on a very bad Arizona team. Like, does a team like Chicago, for example?
He's got $5 million on his ticket next year, so I don't think so.
Yeah, the contract.
3.2 cap hit, but $5 million,
right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, a team that wants him is going to have that room for the salary. But, you know, absolutely, Keith Yandle, I mean, you hear about Detroit wanting...
Keith Yandle, Detroit makes no... I've heard that, too. It makes no sense to me. They don't need a left-side guy, that defenseman who can't defend. They need a right side guy who can maybe a little bit more of a stay at home.
Which
type
would probably
of
be Mike Green. No, that's not stay at home.
I think it's Petrie is actually what fits there. I don't love Petrie. I don't think he's always as competitive as you like. But that's the kind of guy who fits there to me. I don't see how Yandle fits. I mean, Yandle fits elsewhere. Teams need puck moving defensemen who can play on the power play. And he's very good in the power play. He can move the puck.
Does a Pittsburgh want Keith Yandle?
See, the problem is again, Ehrhoff is like a Yandle. You know, he doesn't defend well enough. Well, he's injured right now. So. Yep. But Yandle, I mean, fits on other teams, Ezzy, who need guys who can quarterback the power play. You know, and you have another year in his contract, too, but there's a lot of money there. So I think all those guys are going to get traded. I think Arizona's going to be very active. Sean Burke, executive and goaltending coach of that team, was on this show and said, we haven't drafted well enough.
Yep.
So might as well just continue to trade these guys.
Stockpile those draft picks.
Where do you think Vermette goes? He's number one on the TSN Trade Center big board. You know.
I think somebody bigger than Vermette gets traded, Drew, but I think Washington, Boston, Chicago would be probably three teams. Montreal, four teams. I would probably be most interested in him.
Think Irat goes anywhere? I mean, he's...
I think he does.
He was involved in the worst, you know, trade deadline trade of recent memory, going to from Washington from Nashville to Washington in exchange for Philippe Forsberg.
Irat's not the player he used to be. I still think that a team will inquire about him. I mean, who knows? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't think he's very useful at this point in his career, but...
I mean, he's going to have... If you want to acquire Erat, you're saying, okay, you know, eat some money, Arizona. We'll take him. We'll try and drop him on our fourth line and play a skill fourth line kind of game. That's where you'd probably be playing him.
Before we go to break, there were 20 trades on trade deadline day last year.
Yeah.
The exact day. 20 trades. Fewer or more, you think, this year?
Over.
You think there's going to be more than 20 trades come Monday?
Yeah, why not?
I hope he's right. I think under. And I'm pretty sure last year I said over, he said under, and he was right. So I'm saying under, he's saying over.
So you think it'll be a busier day than you do, Rich?
I think it is, and I know we hear that it's a seller's market out there, but I just think, you know, there's going to be some trades happening on Monday.
I think less trades in the 20, but bigger trades than people expect.
So you think there's some names that haven't really been bandied about, the guys who aren't necessarily, you know, pending UFAs that might go come Monday?
Sharp, Yandel, I mean, we've heard the names, and there could be a name or two we haven't heard. But I see them being some more moves than you think. If you look at the landscape, we're going to keep
going.
We haven't
even talked about Dion Phaneuf.
Right. If we look at the landscape of the league right now, you tell me how many teams think they have a shot to make a run this year.
Probably any team that makes the playoffs.
That's exactly what I think.
And then I think on top of that, complicating further matters, or matters further, is the lower salary cap for next season. If it is $69 million, and that's the number that's being talked about, a lot of teams are up against that, and they were going to be up against the cap when they thought it would be $72, $73 million, never mind $4 million less. And that's, you know, $4 million less, that's a second-line left winger, a second-line right winger right there that they're all going to have to shed off their roster if they're one of those salary cap teams. In any event, let's head to break, and when we come back, we'll shift our focus to, we'll continue with the Pacific Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is their trade deadline preview show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
Hi, this is Drew Mindell. Some surprises are good, like a big comeback win. Some aren't, like internet overage charges. That's why MTS high-speed internet is unlimited, so you won't be caught off guard by surprise overage charges. Switch to MTS high-speed internet from only $20 a month for the first 3 months. Conditions apply. Call or visit your nearest MTS store for details.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
1:45 in the afternoon, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our trade deadline preview show. Drew Mindell alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Who do you think is going to get dealt? Are there any big names you're expecting to get traded come Monday? Facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is, of course, IllegalCurve.com. We continue with our preview by looking at the remainder of the teams in the NHL's Pacific Division. We start with the Anaheim Ducks, where they have three pending free agents, Francois Beauchemin, Eric Brewer, Matt Beleski, who's their leading goal scorer, or was for a lot of the season, currently injured, mind you. You know, the Ducks are obviously, they're clearly going to win the Pacific Division. They're running away with it. But there's a lot of people that say they're not quite as good as their record indicates. What are the Ducks looking to do come Monday? Because this is certainly a team that has designs. We've heard that they're all in. So if they're all in, as we've heard, who are they all in on?
Oh, they had Fleischmann here, Drew, so that adds more depth. We had coming into the show, it said top nine forward. I think they probably classify Fleischmann as a top nine guy at some level, with a bunch of the other wingers they have. Maybe another established top winger would be a desire, but I don't think a must have. I think you're looking at a defenseman here. And I like Hampus Lindholm. I like Cam Fowler. I like Ben Lovejoy, and I like Vatanen. Vatanen's hurt right now. Brewer, Beauchemin, and Manson. Do you trust Manson? And Stoner is a solid D-man, but is it a top four D-man? I think it is. I think it's they want an impact defenseman. Now, I don't know if that impact defenseman is available, but I think that is what they're looking for. And to put them over the top.
Offensively inclined or more
two-way? Two-way. So that gets back to that. Does Braden Coburn fit into what they're doing? I mentioned his name a bunch, but he's got to be, you're hearing he's available. And sometimes he plays well, sometimes he doesn't play well. And he has a skill set to fit into that team, you know, a bigger guy who can skate like Fowler, like Lindholm. I think he would make a lot of sense there, but I think their need is on the back end. And that's where I think they'll be looking.
Yeah, they might have a need for defensemen. You know, watching them last night, though, you know, Josh Manson, he can skate, and I think Clayton Stoner is a rough player.
Yeah,
underrated. Sure. I'm not worried. I mean, you guys know how much I like the Ducks. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup before the season started, and I think people that are saying that they're not as good as their record indicates. What does that mean? First of all, I mean, are the Jets as good as their record? Is Nashville as good as their record?
Well, I think
was Colorado as good as their record last year, getting knocked out in the first round? I mean,
if you asked people, they would say that their record in one goal games, which is tremendous, is not likely to is a bit of a mirage, and it's not actually. It is as good as it is, but it's not likely to hold up over an even longer period of time. But that's
okay. Well,
save that fight for another week on the show. How about that?
Well, it wasn't a fight. I was just I think that they're a top team in the Western Conference, and I think that, you know, they're well coached. They have two solid goaltenders. For Anderson's been injured, and John Gibson's been doing a really nice job there. So it's a very deep team. And does that mean that they're unbeatable? Of course not. You know, I would think that the Jets wouldn't want to play the Ducks in the first round. And I think they would have a lot of trouble against the Anaheim Ducks in the first round. And, you know, we talked about the Thomas Fleischmann acquisition, the Sekach for Smith-Pelly trade. I wouldn't be surprised if Bob Murray doesn't make any moves.
You think he could stand pat, really?
Well, I'm not saying he will. I don't have any inside knowledge.
You said you wouldn't be surprised if he
was making... Yeah, I agree with Ezzy in the sense I don't even need to do anything. You hear rumblings that they're going to do something, but that roster's pretty good. I mean, there's there's nothing saying they couldn't beat any team in the Western Conference. I mean, remember, they took L.A. Now, they were terrible in Game 7 last year. They took L.A. to 7 games last year with a team that, on paper, wasn't as good as this year's team.
Calgary Flames. Obviously, they've been one of the great stories in the NHL so far this season, just recently having fallen out of a playoff spot when most people would have said they're going to be a bottom feeder for the majority of the season. Still right in the thick of it, only a point behind the Minnesota Wild. Granted, the Wild have a game in hand. Curtis Glencross, the only an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Same with Rafael Diaz. Everyone expects Glencross to move. Is there a possibility that the Flames might, you know, try and buy someone to, you know, see if that can get them back into the playoffs?
I don't think so, Drew. Brad Treliving's looking long term. The draft and develop model, which is the funniest thing ever. I love that, the draft and develop model. Like most GMs, you know, he's seeing an opportunity to strike when it's appropriate. Right now, it's not appropriate. They have a need. They have a need for top six forwards. They're not going to trade anybody for a top six forward right now, though, because they don't have the pieces to make that move. They're not in the position to make that move. So while their need is a top six forward, in my opinion, that could be a center or a wing, left or right, they're not going to be addressing that. They'll likely stand pat, I think. You know, if it's a long-term deal, like an O'Reilly, that's different. That's not short-term. That's long-term. And I don't know if they have the pieces right now that they want to give up for a move like that. It would obviously depend. But I don't see this team making any significant moves at the deadline.
Yeah,
dealing Curtis Glencross, though?
That's not a significant move, Drew.
Is he?
Well, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, yes. You're talking significant, long-term significant. And for this year...
Acquiring, I mean, like making a move for somebody in.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, look, if you're the Calgary Flames, you've by far surpassed everyone's expectations. Maybe not internal expectations, but I think... a lot of people didn't expect them to be in the playoff race at this point, and that's no offense to them. They're a young, rebuilding team. Yeah. But the problem is, I think, if you're going to try to get a player, say, of Ryan O'Reilly's quality, you're most likely going to have to deal a Sean Monahan or a Sam Bennett, which you're obviously not going to do.
So
if you're the Calgary Flames, your defense has been excellent. Giordano is obviously a Norris candidate, and the goaltending has been excellent, and Bob Hartley's got his contract extension now. To me, it's going to be tough for them to get in the playoffs because you're still finishing off that 7-game road trip. So you've got Philly, Boston, Detroit, and Ottawa coming up. And you might say, okay, well, Philly and Ottawa, those are easier games. But we saw Ottawa upset LA the other night, and Boston and Detroit are in a dogfight for their playoff lives as far as seeding goes. So it's not going to be an uphill climb for Calgary right now on the road. If you can get through this stretch, then you go back home, obviously, where it's... you know, it's easier to get wins. But, you know, if you're Calgary, you trade Glencross because most likely you're not going to re-sign him.
You're still part of the rebuild.
And maybe you get somebody else. But, again, I think Ryan O'Reilly is a guy that they covet, but I don't know if they have the assets. They don't want to give up the assets to get him.
Yeah, you're exactly. I mean, you're 2 years into a rebuild, baby. You're behind the Jets and other teams in a rebuild. Like, what are you going to try and do? Speed it up like every other team who's failed to do that?
What does Glencross get you on in the market? You know, the market's, you know, a lot of players have been traded already.
He'll get you a second UFAs. In the market right now.
He get you a second?
Yeah.
Well, so. If Jaromir Jagr is getting you a second, Curtis Glencross. The thing with Curtis Glencross, too, is you can always have the option of signing him.
Yep.
I think that factors in more than people think. I know it could be a rental, but if it's a rental, like a good example, Drew, is like a Marian Gaborik. So they get him, but then they sign him after, right? So because he was a huge part of the reason why they won the Stanley Cup last year. Not saying that Glencross is going to have that same type of impact, but I think, you know, you hear Chicago really wants him. Montreal might want him. I think, you know, he's a good guy. Even though he's a little bit older now, he's still got a lot of speed, and he's always been a good goal scorer. So
the Vancouver Canucks, they are currently in a playoff spot as well in the Western Conference, 3 points up on the LA Kings, second in the Pacific Division. They have a couple of free agents, Sean Mathias, Derek Dorsett, Brad Richardson, who's also injured.
I don't think any of those guys are moving.
Are the Canucks a team that's likely to stand pat, in your opinion? I mean, ton of injuries on the back end. Is that something you think they're going to try and rectify before the trade deadline?
Not really. I think they have a need at forward, top six, bottom six guys. But they're in a weak division this year. That's a surprisingly weak division. They're not going to speed up that rebuild. You know, they're not trading McCann or Virtanen or Horvat or any of those prospects. Again, part of that draft and develop, you say that most of the teams who are rebuilding are part of. I don't see them selling anything. They might look for a spare part for defense, Drew, a late round pick or something like that, but I don't think anything significant is coming from Vancouver.
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially, it's funny, it seems like whoever you put up with the Sedins seems to score. A guy like Zach Cassian is now scoring goals, a guy that, you know, people were projecting to be, you know, kind of buried in the on the fourth line or something, and most likely, you know, he probably is a bottom six forward, but if you look at, you know, how some of the other players, like a guy like Sean Mathias has had a really nice year for Vancouver coming over from Florida, so, you know, for them, I think they'll probably try to get in with what they've got. I don't know necessarily. I mean, we've seen that Jim Benning and Trevor Linden, they'll make moves. So, I mean, if they like somebody, you know, like, do they want to get a guy like Chris Stewart if he's available from Buffalo?
Yeah, but for short term, and they're just going to ride. They're playing with house money here.
Sure, house money in the sense that nobody had any expectations for them this year. And if they had made missed the playoffs altogether, nobody would have been that surprised.
Defensive injuries: Tanev and Bieksa and Edler. Miller's out, and they're still going to make the playoffs likely. They have a bunch of home games coming up.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much home for the entirety of the month of March.
I mean, you know, just to play devil's advocate here, you know,
with the Devils, you have to play.
Well, I mean, if Vancouver, like we just said, if they're like one of 16 teams who think if they get in, they have a chance, maybe they want a rental.
Problem is, they're one of those 16 teams that has to probably play LA. Most of the other teams don't have to play
well,
LA.
I'm just saying, you know, like, I mean, if you think, if you're, you know, using the argument, well, if the Jets think they can beat any team, you know, so.
If you had to pick one of the eight playoff teams in the West that are currently playoff teams, the one team that I think doesn't have a chance of winning any rounds would be the Vancouver Canucks.
Based on who they're playing?
Yeah, in general, I don't think their team is built to make a round, to win a round at this point. With their injuries and everything else.
In the West, as it currently stands, I would agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at the East, I mean, we'll talk about the East coming up after the break.
It's completely contrary to what you just said about any team having a chance.
Most teams, he means.
I think Winnipeg and Minnesota.
I think in the East, any team. And I think in the West, probably any team, Drew, I'd probably agree with you in terms of Vancouver.
Yeah.
But
I think Winnipeg and Minnesota, you can make an argument that if the Jets were to play Nashville, they can match up against them. The Canucks can't match up against the Los Angeles Kings.
No, I agree with that.
You know, and they're pretty close to. They're not locked into the second spot by any stretch. Even if they play the Anaheim Ducks, they can't match up against the Ducks either. They're not at that point yet where they need to be.
I agree, and they're not adding a big time forward here. That's what they need, Ezzie. I mean, they don't have enough top six forwards there. You haven't adequately replaced Kessler. That's fine. That's part of the process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they hope Bonino's going to develop into
that
guy.
And Horvat's, he's not going to develop into that guy. Bonino's not. Horvat is playing a lot better. I mean, hey, he's a guy they want to develop into that guy. That's the guy. And Virtanen on the wing, and McCann is another center, but it takes a while.
Edmonton, the final team in the Western Conference.
As you know, Drew, Rome wasn't built in a day.
I'm pretty sure I didn't realize Rome wasn't built in two millennia, though, either, according to the Oilers' management. Free agents, Jeff Petrie and Derek Roy.
Both, I don't know about Roy, but Petrie's getting traded.
Petrie's definitely getting traded. I mean, he's a healthy scratch today for the Oilers because they don't want him to get injured before the trade deadline on Monday. What's Petrie fetching you in return? Is he getting you a second-round pick?
At least. Yeah, Petrie may get you a first in this market.
Well, if you look at the LA Kings going after Andre Sequeira, and having to give up a first round pick, then you'd say, well, I think Jeff Petrie is comparable to Andre Sequeira. Not exactly the same type of defenseman, but
less
similar,
offensive, I think.
Similar in the sense that he can play in your top four. Sequeira was playing with Robin Regier last night. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if you're talking about what is, you know, to sum up the this first hour of the trade deadline preview, defensemen are coveted this year. And that's why I think that you're going to see most likely Yandle and Green go to teams, even if they have their defensive shortcomings. So a guy like Petrie, I think, you know, could work. You know, Richie mentioned Detroit. I think a guy like that, you bring him in as a rental player and you hope he solidifies your top six.
I agree. And in terms of anybody else to trade, I mean, who else do they have to deal, really?
Well, I mean, if they want to...
I can see Andrew Ferentz getting moved. That's the other one.
Anything of a big splash involving any of their top six forward group?
No, not right now.
Not right now?
No, Hall's injured. They're not trading Eberle and Nugent Hopkins, I don't think, at the deadline. Or Yakupov, and he's been playing really well. Aside from that, there's nobody on the roster that anybody would want. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. Like, there's nobody on the roster anybody would want.
Let's head to break. That was the Western Conference when we
maybe
come back.
Maybe Boyd Gordon for faceoffs, fourth line center. I shouldn't say that. Nobody, but very few players.
Okay. Are you done now?
Yeah.
Okay. Head to break. When we come back, we'll look at the Eastern Conference. We're previewing the NHL's trade deadline. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our trade deadline preview, getting set for Monday, the NHL trade deadline. Of course, being on Monday, Trade Center 2015, all day long here on TSN 1290, brought to you by McPhillips Toyota, of course, and fueled by our friends at Tim Hortons. Richie, you'll be on with Rick from 11 to 3, and then a special edition of NHL Midweek, looking back, recapping the entire day of trade, 6 p.m. on Monday on this fine radio station.
It's always fun. I love trade deadline day. You see a bunch of managers, although there have been action this past couple weeks or so, managers who generally sit in their hands, make some moves, see where they think the team stands. Player movement makes it a little more exciting. You get the excitement of the new teams, the new players, and obviously the effect. You know, we talk about so much was made of the past years, that the trade deadline being overblown in terms of its impact. Last year, Ezzy, no Marian Gaborik on the Kings. They don't win the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So...
no argument there. That was the players that were traded last year did have some significant name value.
So don't tell me it means nothing.
Yeah, let's start with the Eastern Conference and the Atlantic Division. We'll start with the Montreal Canadiens. They made a trade earlier this week, acquiring Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Mm-hmm.
They're currently, the East is fascinating because I think any team that makes the playoffs in the East can probably represent them in the Stanley Cup Finals.
And I have to be, I'll do mea culpa here. I think a short change a little bit of the Eastern Conference. You look at those teams, and they're all pretty good, Drew. I know we talk West, East. I don't know if there's that. Maybe I have to say, I think that these Eastern Conference teams are just as good as the Western Conference teams. Look at the Eastern teams. I don't think they're any better than the Western teams aren't any better than the East.
I think it might be the bottom of the East is worse than the bottom of the West.
Yeah, I'm talking playoff teams.
But playoff team wise, you're absolutely right. When any of the teams in the Eastern Conference can represent the East, it's going to make it for a very entertaining playoffs coming out of the Eastern Conference.
It's going to be a great playoffs. I mean, there's a possibility, and we're getting a little bit off track. There's
Montreal,
a possibility. Montreal, Boston, Rangers, Islanders, Washington, Pittsburgh, all in the Tampa, Detroit, all in the first round.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a first round of, and never mind the Jets as well, but very likely, but likely to be a playoff team as well. Montreal Canadiens. They made the trade. They acquired Devontae Smith-Pelly earlier this week. Is that it for the Habs, or what are they looking to do? You think come Monday?
Well, you have a sharp general manager, first off, Ezzy, a guy who's not afraid to make a move in it. You have to really respect him. If I'm looking at that roster, I'm probably saying you need a top four D-man. I know they like Nathan Beaulieu. Is Tom Gilbert a guy you want to trust big time? Alexei Yemelin is a guy they haven't necessarily trusted. He's injured right now. I think you need a top four D-man. Jeff Petrie could fit there, actually, on the right side, ahead of Tom Gilbert. It's a lot of Oilers, but ahead of Tom Gilbert. Maybe you want another winger who can score a bit, but you're probably okay. You have a bunch of guys. You have Parenteau coming back. You hope. I don't know when he's coming back particularly, but I think top four D-man is what you want to do. You want to help the back end.
Yeah, and Jeff Petrie does make sense there, Rich. And you look at some of the other needs, and that was why Ryan O'Reilly was rumored to be going to the Montreal Canadiens, or rumored to be a possibility, I should say, not rumored to be going to the Montreal Canadiens. Jacob Della Rose has done a really nice job there on the third line. A rookie forward from Sweden has done a really nice job there for the Montreal Canadiens. So I don't know if that need is necessarily there. It might just be acquiring a defenseman, but this Montreal Canadiens team is very deep, and I realize Alex Galchenyuk, we thought, might go back to center, but he seems to always play better on the wing, and that's why Michel Therrien always keeps him there.
Zdeněk Mihalík, as he also might be, if he's healthy.
He's got concussion issues right now.
Stay-at-home defenseman, bigger guy, that could be a guy who works there too.
Yep.
Tampa Bay Lightning. Really haven't done much in terms of making any acquisitions this year. They had traded away Eric Brewer earlier in the season.
They're pretty good, Drew. I mean, you might want some size on the wing, but in reality, it's probably a veteran defenseman, as he with Gudas and Carl having injuries. You probably want to solidify with one more veteran guy. That's not to take anything away from, I think it's Schuster, you pronounce it, Nesterov or Barbario. I frankly can't speak to any of those guys in terms of their game, because I haven't seen them play. I've hardly seen them play at all, if at all, excuse me. Probably another veteran defenseman just to solidify things. But again, if those guys have been playing better than I've seen, then there might not be any needs at all.
Right, and then in the offseason, they went out and they addressed it by getting Anton Strahlman and Jason Garrison, who have both been excellent. And people, I think, don't realize, Gudas, I know he sometimes gets into trouble by being overly physical, but they miss him. He's a physical defenseman, and I think Richie's right. I think, adding him adding someone else to replace him. I'm not sure if he's going to be back at all this year, but I think, how many teams are we talking about needing a defenseman?
That's right. That's your point, Ezzy. And that's why it's going to
buy single team
needs a seller's market if you have a guy to sell.
It seems like it's a seller's market more years than not when it comes to the NHL trade deadline.
Probably, Drew. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's forward group is arguably a top five. You're talking Tyler Johnson's leading the team in scoring right now. Brian Boyle they acquired, I how much I like the Lightning this year, and they might, last year, if they have Ben Bishop, do they get swept by the Montreal Canadiens? I think that's a series if they have Ben Bishop.
I agree with that.
So, I, I'm not saying that, necessarily the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to walk all over the Eastern Conference, but, you watch this team, and they're an exciting, fast team to watch. Steven Stamkos is on pace for another 40-plus goal season.
Sure,
And Victor Hedman's back from injury now. And, I agree with Richie. You look at, a guy like Mark Barberio, a guy who's really only had success at the AHL level. You'd probably think that if they can get a player who can really help them out as far as the defensive side of the game. I think when you talk about offensively, Hedman, Garrison, they've got some guys
there.
Got some guys that can play on the power play and score some goals and jump into the rush. You're probably looking at it Mihalík too could work there.
Roman Polak could work in Montreal and could work in Tampa Bay, right side, stay-at-home kind of guy.
Sure.
What about Chris Phillips? He doesn't play at the level that he used to, and he's been a healthy scratch in Ottawa. And he's played his whole career there.
Hard to believe he's leaving at this point.
Maybe, but if he moves, maybe a guy like that who can drop into your 6-7 spot and be a veteran leader. I think Polak or Phillips or Mihalík, those guys would fit on both of those teams.
Detroit, the Red Wings going to be playing Nashville starting up any second now, in fact, in an afternoon game. Red Wings are third in the Atlantic Division, certainly within striking distance of Tampa Bay for second. One free agent, that's Danny Cleary. Couple injuries, Zetterberg, Franzen, Quincy injured right now.
I think Zetterberg's going to be okay. It's Franzen, they don't know if he's going to be back. Yeah. And Zetterberg has a concussion, so you never know, or apparently issues with after the Jamie Benn hit to the head. Franzen, would his loss, as he might, present them with a need of a bigger scoring winger?
Yep.
He doesn't need to score that much. He needs to be a bigger winger who can play. So not like a Bertuzzi. He needs to be able to play a little bit. And they've always looked for that right side deal, though Marchenko's not a bad-looking player. So, we're just nitpicking. And these three teams, Montreal, Tampa, Detroit, kind of interchangeable in terms of where they fit in the standings. But I think bigger, impactful winger would be helpful. And the right side deal, again, we've talked about Petrie being a guy who could fit there. So, but there are, how many big, Chris Stewart does not really fit into what they're doing, and they like to play those guys like Nyquist and Tatar on the opposite wing. So I'm not sure if Stewart fits in there. And I don't know if that player they need is available. So it's not a must-have for them. They're pretty deep. Their forwards, as you're really deep.
Yeah, and they roll four lines. Mike Babcock likes to roll those four lines. So, again, we're talking about another team that would like to add a defenseman. And, you know, you hear Mike Green. I think the Detroit Red Wings have apparently been interested in Mike Green for 3 years now. But it's a deep team, Rich. And even though you might look at the defense, and aside from Cronwall and Danny DeKeyser, you might say, okay, it's not the strongest D, but, you know, they're still a top team in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, Howard is starting to get going now after, you know, being out of the lineup for a couple months. So it's a situation where I think if the right trade is there, I wouldn't be surprised if he brings someone in, Holland.
Eric Cole, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know? Big winger, like you said.
Yeah. But I agree, Izzy. I mean, it's not much, right? Like, it's like, what are they? Pulkkinen's
well,
a good player,
I think,
too.
I think with the trades that we've seen, you know, that's why I'm saying, like, a guy like a Ryan O'Reilly, there aren't too many players that, I mean, again, I think, you know, we get into the habit of hearing about guys for 2 months, and not to say that Chris Stewart can't help a team you know, other players can't help teams, but I think, you know, when you look at it, you also have to factor into where they're at and how they've been playing for most of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, does Detroit want to give up a second-round pick to get, you know, a third-line winger?
They traded picks for Legwan last year, right? And they like picks.
Right. That didn't work out.
And they've got Steven Weiss playing on the third and fourth line there on the wing. He's a natural center.
Right.
So, I mean, a team like Detroit, I think, if the price is right... you mentioned Jeff Petrie. He seems to be the number one D candidate right now to move.
Could do Zdlicky too.
Yeah. Watched him play this year.
Yeah, I know. But you know, right side guy. You can again a guy as you could put in as a 7 or 8 and say, oh, if we need him, we can use him. I know.
he looks as slow as I do on the ice.
Yeah, and he's not big either, right? So.
One last playoff team coming out of the Atlantic Division thus far. The Boston Bruins are currently holding down the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference, about 4 points ahead of the Florida Panthers. Got a bunch of free agents, Carl Soderberg, Greg Campbell, Adam McQuaid, Matt Bartkowski. A couple big injuries, especially the one to David Krejci. Kevin Miller is also injured. Are the Bruins, what are the Bruins? They've sort of been middling all season long. They've, you know, seem to be in a state of transition when it comes to, especially on their defense.
Could use a defense when you could use a top six scoring winger and you can use a depth forward. That's a lot of needs.
Yeah. So, I mean, are they sellers, though? Are they, you know, what are they? Are they doing anything with Campbell and Soderberg?
They're not selling. Not if their jobs are on the line, they're not selling. I think they could use a top line, top six right winger. We've talked about that since really Jager, Sagan, and Horton. They've never replaced those guys. Pasternak, they like to push down a bit.
Yep.
And then, of course, if Krejci comes back, you push Soderberg down. And then you like to add a depth defenseman if you can, or a defenseman who can play in your top four, ideally. But I'm not sure if that guy's available. So it's going to be tough sledding for them. And maybe you want to do a package of Yandle and Vermette from Boston, from Arizona. But what's that costing you, and how much is that helping? You have Krug and Bartkowski, who is a pending UFA, but they're both puck-moving guys like Yandle. Vermette certainly helps you. So I don't, maybe Mihalik and Vermette as a package. But what are you giving up? And then, you know, the Spooner they have, and they have Pasternak, again, a guy I like, and they have Suban. So they have some young guys. I could see that being a fit there, but yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, Pasternak had the game-winning goal last night against New Jersey. Back to your question, Drew. I think they're buyers. I don't think they're big time buyers, meaning that I think they might go out and acquire someone. But you know, they've been in a playoff spot all year, and it has been a transition year. You're right, Drew. It's been a difficult year for Boston, and you know, Carl Soderberg, I think they want to sign. He's been really good there as their third line center. He's got a lot of offensive ability. But, you know, back to Richie's point, I think if you can bring in somebody to help you offensively, because when you consider that Chara is getting towards the end of his career,
right,
and now you're relying a lot on Torrey Krug and Dougie Hamilton. But the thing is, when those guys came into the NHL, you already had Chara, Seidenberg, Boychuk playing at a very high level. Now you're asking more from those guys.
Right.
So you've had to elevate those guys. And I agree with what you're saying. If you can, we've talked to Jack Edwards of Nesson about this many times. They're still trying to replace Anson Carter. Even said this last week, they're still trying to place Nathan Horton and Anson Carter. Anson Carter. No, Nathan Horton and Jerome McGinley.
Four right wingers they've given up
exactly
in the past few years.
So, I mean, if you can get somebody like, I mean, Chris Stewart. I mean, again, Chris Stewart seems to be the guy for everybody. But They're a team that even if they get in, because and this is the big if, Tuukka Rask is obviously the reigning Vezina Trophy winner, but if he can get back to where he is, and it's still a tough team to play against, you've still got you know Patrice Bergeron there,
sure.
And Krejci's going to be back for the playoffs. So I mean, it's still a very deep team, but I think if you're Peter Chiarelli, you're probably thinking, well, if I can get a guy and I don't have to give up that much. Like, I don't think Pastrnak is a guy you want to give up, because I think he's shown in his rookie year that he's got a lot of talent. So I think you might see – I think Richie's point is well taken. I think maybe you bring in – you know, maybe move someone to Arizona. But again, what do you have to give up? Is it just draft picks? Who do they want?
Are you giving up Ryan Spooner? Like, what are you giving up, right? Like, I mean, it's going to be some young guys, right?
Well, if you're Arizona, I mean, Malcolm Subban probably has a fair bit of interest to you, given the struggles that Mike Smith has had. And, you know, I don't know enough about Arizona's goaltending prospects, but
maybe.
It seems to be, at least to me, that there would be a fit there, you know, between those two teams. And Vermette would certainly fill a role, given the need, or Boston's sort of reliance on center depth over the last number of years when they've been successful.
Mihalik, I think, would need to be in there as well if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, certainly the case. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll continue our look at the Eastern Conference, finish up the Atlantic Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our trade deadline preview show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN1290.ca, brought to you by MTS.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our trade deadline preview show, Trade Center 2015, Monday, here on this fine station, on television, on TSN, of course, and TSN.ca. We'll have all of your latest news as well. We continue our look at the Atlantic Division with the Florida Panthers. Spoke about them a little bit earlier in the program regarding their acquisitions of Jaromir Jagr and their trade away of Thomas Fleischmann. That happened earlier in the show to the Anaheim Ducks. Two other free agents, Thomas Kopechke and Scotty Upshaw, are UFAs at season's end. You know, it's sort of weird. They're sort of buyers. They're also sort of sellers. Are they done for Monday, or do you think that there's a possibility that Kopechke and Upshaw are also on the move?
Well, I mean, Drew, I think Upshaw might be on the move. I'm not sure if they have much use for him. I think Kopechke may be on the move as well. They could do some speed up front. You know, you got Jagr and you have Hayes and some other guys up there.
Boys is not the fastest either.
Yeah, so exactly. So, I mean, so you need to add some speed. Bolin's not the fastest guy. You know, he's hurt right now. You need to add some speed, Thornton, especially on the right side. But even up front, you could add speed. And defense-wise, you probably want some guy you can complement Gudbrandsson, and you have a Mitchell injured right now, so you probably want a defenseman and a speedy forward, but nothing that's going to break the bank.
Yeah, and you've already made some moves. As Drew mentioned, you've kind of been a bit of a buyer and you've been a bit of a seller, and they obviously made a huge splash in free agency, acquiring guys like Willie Mitchell and Sean Thornton and Jussi Jokinen. So I don't know if Dale Tallon, I think Dale Tallon likes what he's got here, and we've talked about the Florida Panthers quite a bit. They're one of those teams that's just on the cusp of really being a good team, I think, with Barkov and Bjugstad and Huberdeau and other players. And you've brought in Jagr, I think, and even as Richie mentioned, Jagr's not the fastest guy, but you've brought him in because you want an infusion of goals. That's what you want from Jagr. Obviously, you want the leadership. But yeah, sure, maybe Florida, you know, is interested in a veteran defenseman to help them out. But I don't know. I think Florida's been pretty active, and I guess if you can get something for Kopechke or Scotty Upshaw, which at this point they're really on the downside of their careers, unfortunately.
For sure.
Maybe you can get a draft pick or something to get one of those draft picks that you gave up.
The Florida Panthers playing right now at home. They're down 2-0 to Buffalo, so you lose that game at home, and then that might be the end of your playoff hopes.
Kopechke would be a guy who would, you know, he kind of fit the Winnipeg mold, wouldn't he? Left winger, play your fourth line, can play a physical game if you need him to. Familiar with Trevor Daya from Chicago, I believe. That kind of fits in the framework, would cost you next to nothing. And just a name to toss out there.
He's been a healthy scratch, I think, as of late for the Panthers, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, anyways, like I said, Panthers losing at home. So if they lose to the Sabres today, that might be the end of their playoff chances, even before Monday, which actually probably makes their lives a little bit easier. Moving along.
Drew, once you make the move for Jagr, you're not selling.
Well, you're not selling, but I mean, the only guys you're selling are potentially your UFA guys.
Yeah, but you can still sell those and compete because you're not playing all of them.
Sure. Yeah, fair point there. Continuing on the look at the Atlantic Division, we'll go to the Ottawa Senators. They have Eric Condra, really, as their only pending unrestricted free agent. A bit of a glut of goaltenders, as we mentioned earlier, when as he talked about Craig Anderson potentially being... Leonard, not that he's on the market necessarily.
And Leonard's hurt.
Yeah, Leonard's hurt, but they've been playing Andrew Hammond, and he's going to start again mm-hmm. tonight.
Yeah, and he's been getting wins, and you got to give him credit. Kudos to him. Chris Driedger, who's a Manitoba boy, is backing up Andrew Hammond. So it's nice to see some of those guys get into the lineup mm-hmm. because Craig Anderson and obviously Robin Lehner have been, you know, they're one and two goalies for a few years now. Yep. You know, Eric Condra is a player that I think will attract some interest. You know, he's a guy that has been maybe buried a little bit there, especially with the emergence of Mike Hoffman and guys like Mark Stone there. You know, there's always the chance, I guess, Ottawa signs him, but you'd think, Drew, that they would have already. That's why he's obviously on this list.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, a time of thought, so you'd think they'd sign him.
Exactly, right, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, Curtis Lazar, you know, is kind of part of that rebuilding process. But, you know, Condra is a guy that I could see getting a decent return as far, you'd think it's a draft pick again. This is a big, big draft year for Ottawa coming up. You know, you talk about the teams that haven't drafted well, Arizona. You look at Ottawa, and I'm not saying that Mika Zibanejad isn't a good player. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I remember he was drafted in Scheifele's year in 2011. Right. I mean, he's been, you know, he hasn't knocked your socks off there in Ottawa, Zibanejad. You know, he's shown glimpses there. But, you know, this is a big draft coming up. So I think that, you know, even another player, you know, on the roster, if someone's interested, I mean, I don't know if somebody's going to go after the Bobby Ryan contract or Mahalik, you know, who's also under contract, I believe, for what, one more year after this year?
Yeah.
You know, does somebody go after...
Two years, right?
Does somebody go... Because I think if someone wants to go after a significant piece, you know, you're asking, Drew, who's untouchable on Arizona? Mm-hmm. Clearly a seller. Ottawa. They won't admit it that they're a seller because they're not completely out of it, but they're out of it.
I think they
would be listening on almost anybody aside from Eric Carlson. Like, why, if you're, you know, the Ottawa Senators, why aren't you entertaining the fact of trading, you know, Kyle Turris or trading Mika Zibanejad? Or I know they like Mike Hoffman and who's up.
Yeah, he's good.
You know, but if you're the Ottawa Senators, you know you're rebuilding. I mean,
you need top nine forward. You need top six defenseman. Yeah, you know, again, you have an outside chance at the playoffs because you're at 7 points back, but you have two games in hand.
You're out. I mean, you can't realist. I mean,
Condra has statistics.
Brian Murray knows what he's doing. He knows that team's not going anywhere.
You'd think so. You'd hope so if you're a Senators fan. Eric Condra's statistics are, you know, appealing to some. So maybe you turn that into a higher draft pick and you were going to let him go anyways.
They made a coaching change there, Richie, and the team was exactly the same. I mean, the team didn't get better or worse without Paul MacLean. You know, just to say that you look at this team and, you know, it doesn't have enough, you mentioned it, it doesn't have enough frontline talent here.
Doesn't, yeah. So, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, that's why this deadline for me is anticlimactic for Ottawa. It's a bigger issue.
Sure. They would have traded Chris Neal as well, but he's injured. He broke his thumb.
Well, he didn't want to go anywhere, though.
I know he didn't want to go
anywhere.
The
Jets apparently had interest, and he would have fit in here in Winnipeg well. But
he's a great player.
He doesn't have, you know, there's.
I've always loved Chris Neal.
He doesn't want to leave, and MacArthur has concussion problems, so they have injuries there that they have to deal with as well.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, now that Winnick Watch 2015 has come to an end, they have a couple free agents still. David Booth, Olli Jokinen, who apparently now is worth, what, 3 first-round picks?
Those are all sevenths. Booth, Jokinen, Sill, and Holzer, are there UFAs, Drew?
Yeah.
None of them's worth over a 6 or a 7, if anything at all.
Roman Polak is sort of the biggest chip they have left?
Polak and Lupul, I think, are the two guys who are the chips. You know, Lupul has his term on his deal, but I think teams think that he can certainly help them scoring-wise. He has 5.25 cap hit for the next 3 years after this year, so you have to take money back.
Can't stay healthy if his life depends on it.
And he can't stay healthy, but he can be an effective player. I don't love Joffrey Lupul. Roman Polak has 1 year left on his deal at 2.75, so that'll be the guy they peddle. I bet you they probably get a second for him and a lower-end prospect. That's what I would say. Aside from that, their players, their roster is just horrible.
Well, I mean, and we haven't even talked about the big guys. Like, I think those guys, I think Phaneuf, Kessel, Van Riemsdyk, like, I think...
Bozak, too.
Bozak, too. You basically hear that the only guy that's untouchable is Morgan Rielly.
Yeah.
And we've already seen them really start, you know, the trade frenzy, trading Franzen, trading Santarelli, you know, trading all these players.
But who's taking those guys right now? Any of those guys? Long-term deals, big money.
Limited.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, Bozak's had a
You hear
okay
Detroit
year.
Was very interested in Phaneuf, but I mean, that contract.
I just don't see that, though. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's what's been reported.
What do they need him for?
Bozak, 4.2 cap hit for a guy who's going to get you 20 goals?
Plays in with awfully talented players.
That's flaws true, and all. Point.
I don't know. Apparently, they've been calling the Rangers on... Larry Brooks reported that the Leafs have been calling the Rangers offering Bozak. The Rangers aren't biting. I'm assuming there's other teams there. So, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. You guys are right. There are other players that can move for sure. I would assume more of them are going to move in the offseason, but I'm sure they're up for grabs. But it's a lot of term and a lot of dollars you're taking on there.
Yep.
So,
and the final team in the Atlantic Division, the woeful Buffalo Sabres. Free agents Chris Stewart, Torrey Mitchell, Andre Benoit, Andre Mazzaros.
They'll all go.
Tyler Strachan.
They can get takers for all of them. They will trade them.
Yeah, what you're doing if you're Buffalo, we talked about Arizona, Edmonton, you're stockpiling draft picks.
That's right.
They've already been focused on this draft. They've got their set sight not only on a high first-round pick, Drew, but they've got their sight set on
Connor McDavid.
I'm saying not only do they have their sights set on the first round, but they have their sights set on the entire draft.
Sure.
Like you want to make sure your second round picks and third round, like you want to, if you can get more second and third round picks, you do it. If for Chris Stewart, that's what they're looking at. I mean, they know, Tim Murray knows that this is going to be a rebuild year. Mm-hmm. It's already been a rebuilding year this year, and you know, next year and the year after. So, if you can move any one of those guys, I think it's going to be tougher to move others, but I think like a guy like Chris Stewart,
he's getting moved. Undoubtedly, he's getting moved. I mean, I think he's been on the trade block for about 3 years at this point.
Well, he's a pending UFA, Drew, so that affects his value, but you got to think that, you know, I don't know, first rounder might be
no,
high.
No.
Second rounder?
Most, yeah. So they want a lot for him. I don't think they're going to get it. It's Cody Hodgson, kind of similar to Bozak in the way, 4.25 cap hit for the next 4 years after this year. He's available too, I assume. Does he move it this time or the draft? I don't know, but I bet you he's available.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I mean, he was healthy scratched and buried there for a while, and it's not like he's being buried because it's a team that's got talent on it.
To Ezzy's point about draft picks, I mean, what you have to like about Tim Murray is he acquires them and doesn't just hoard them. He moves them in the Bogosian and Kane trade.
Sure, he uses them as assets to try and improve his team. Which is, you know, the way
you're supposed to. Yeah, they've already, even though they traded one to Winnipeg, they've got two first rounders.
Sure, they have the one from St. Louis last year still that they acquired for Ryan Miller.
Yep.
Or the Islanders, one of the two.
And the Islanders, that's right. One of those is coming to Winnipeg, and the other one that they got for Vanek is staying there. Anyways, let's head to break. When we come back, one final division, the Metropolitan Division, the eight teams there. You're up next on the NHL Trade Deadline Preview Show. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
Projecting to our in-between break commercial or content that we're discussing here, Richard, what do you think about that?
Ezzy's the best, man.
You're on Team Ezzy today?
Always.
Okay. Fair enough. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our trade deadline preview show. Here on TSN 1290. We've gone through three of the NHL's four divisions. One division to go, and that is the Metropolitan Division. We'll do that for the next two segments. We start with the New York Islanders currently atop the Metropolitan Division. 2 points up on the Rangers. Granted, the Rangers have three games in hand. So they could very well leapfrog the New York Islanders. You know, Islanders, you know, made their two big moves sort of right before the season started, acquiring Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk. Haven't done much since then. Do they really have a need to do anything entering the trade deadline?
I look at the roster. I don't really see them having a glaring need, Drew. So long as their forwards, Okposo, Grabowski, Cizikas, those guys get back healthy for the playoffs.
And they're expected to.
I don't see a need up front. I mean, maybe a solid stay-at-home D-man to solidify the top six, maybe. But I don't see a real big need. Like, Garthson doesn't have to be very active here. This is a good roster.
Yep.
A team that can skate. Move the puck. You know, goaltending, I guess, would be a pause, but they're not going to sell out on Halak already.
No, so but would you try and acquire a more established backup netminder behind
who?
I don't know.
Is that guy available?
I'm trying to think of the teams that are selling.
No,
probably
really.
Not.
Yeah, not really. So, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh had Chad Johnson as their backup a few years back. In the playoffs,
yeah.
I it's a good point though, Drew. I mean, it's if you want to find a need on this team, that would probably be one of them. We talked to Arthur Staple about this on the midweek show. The greatest acquisition they're going to get is Kyle Okposo, and he's been out, and he's a top line player for them, playing with John Tavares. So that'll be their greatest trade deadline acquisition, and they're not going to have to give up anything to get that. So this is a very deep team. Anders Lee's had a really nice year, 20 goals. Ryan Strome's had a great rookie year, for this team. And, you know, they have their sets, their aspirations this year are to not only get past the first round, this team, I think, has aspirations to get into the Stanley Cup Finals. This is a team that I think has taken the steps. They gave Pittsburgh a run for their money in the second round a couple of years back. Pardon me, the first round a couple of years back. And I think, you know, this is a deeper team. They've addressed the goaltending issue. They've addressed the lack of depth on the blue line. So I think this is a team that doesn't need to do too much.
Maybe Anton Khudobin. Actually, like Anton
Khudobin. I was going to say Anton Khudobin.
The Islanders, I mean, the Carolina, but... Again, I don't know if that'll happen.
The Rangers going from Long Island to downtown to Manhattan. Rangers are a very interesting team come the trade deadline. They're certainly as good as any team in the Eastern Conference. I believe they have the best record in the NHL since either January 1st or the All-Star game.
They're really good. They're really good.
Yeah. And they got one guy in particular who's an unrestricted free agent, and that's Matt Zuccarello.
And he is, Larry Brooks says, on the market. The Rangers will trade him before Monday if they can get him signed, and it doesn't appear that they can. He wants $5 million a year. They're not offering him that. Doesn't have a power play goal this year. And Glenn Saylor doesn't, he's one of the few GMs who still uses that leverage as much as anybody, and he traded Callahan last year, so you know, I wouldn't be calling this a bluff. If I was Zuccarello and his agent.
You know, what kind of return do they need to get for Zuccarello so that it doesn't affect them this year? Or are they thinking that way?
Well, I have to think that way.
Because they have as good a chance to represent the East as any team.
If he's playing beside Broussard and Nash, guys, I mean, that's arguably your top line. You could argue St. Louis, Stepan and Kreider is your top line. But I think really Broussard, Nash, and Zuccarello is your top line. Yeah, he can be an effective power play player for sure. You need to get a guy who can play. Now, maybe you want to increase your size. Obviously, he's a small player. Maybe you want to get bigger on the wings, or maybe you want to move Hayes to the wing, as Brooks suggests in the article, and get another center in there. I don't know, but you need to add a top nine guy, top six guy, really. Zuccarello's a top six forward.
Yeah, he led the team in scoring last year. Yeah. You know, if you talk about some of the Western Conference teams, you know, that we were struggling to find other players that weren't, Antoine Vermette and Chris Stewart and all those other guys that have been rumored, or Ryan O'Reilly. If you're Chicago and you want to add a winger, Zuccarello's got some speed and playmaking ability.
Good playmaker.
This guy's small. He's a small guy, but he's tough for a small guy.
He's tiny.
He gets in there. He'll go to the net and go into those tough places. So, you know, maybe a team like Chicago goes after him. Maybe a team like Vancouver goes after him. I don't know. It's tough to say, but I think there'll be interest.
But it's a hard trade to come to fruition because it's a pure hockey trade.
Yeah, it could be a rental.
Well, it's not even but New York can't afford to just give him away for a rental.
I'm not saying they give him away. I'm just saying it's more. I'm looking more so from the other team's perspective.
Sure. I mean, you can if you want to acquire Matt Zuccarello as a rental player, certainly. But I think if you're Glenn Sather, like we just said, you have designs on your team winning the East. You can't give away a top member of your top six for a future draft pick.
Either he's going to get a draft pick for him and trade that draft pick for something else, or get a draft pick for him and trade his own draft pick for something else. Now, he doesn't have a first-round pick this year because of St. Louis. That's a factor. Maybe San Jose would work well with Zuccarello.
But your point being that if they trade Zuccarello, which by all accounts they're listening.
San Jose would make sense.
By all accounts they're listening. They also then do need to go out and acquire a top six player to fill his spot.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe you trade him as a rental and then acquire another rental for slightly cheaper.
Maybe you trade him as a rental and you bring in a Tange.
Sure. You know, a guy who's got a little bit of term on his contract, not a significant amount.
A similar kind of player in that he can pass and make other players better.
Rangers are an interesting team to watch. That's sort of a wild card situation.
Who would have thought they did last year, trading Callahan and then getting St. Louis and all the first round picks and making it to the final. Mm-hmm. Dangerous team.
They've got some depth there on forward. One of the reasons why I thought the Rangers would struggle this year is because they traded away some of their depth. Oh. And guys like Brian Boyle, guys like Pouliot. They've been replaced. Guys like JT Miller and Kevin Hayes, who's a rookie, played in college last year. So, you know, even if they trade Zuccarello and they get a draft pick, I think they like their depth a lot. They have confidence in their depth.
Mm-hmm. Interesting team to keep an eye on. Speaking of an interesting team to keep their eye on, because it's got Crosby and Malkin on it, so they're always interesting, Pittsburgh Penguins. Certainly been active already on the trade market this season. Mm-hmm. They just acquired Daniel Winnick previous to that. They acquired Steve Downey. They've got Max LaPierre. They acquired, you know, Spalling and Hornqvist in the offseason.
Need a two-way defenseman, Drew. Need to fill the role that Olimata has left, and even if you probably want to add one in even with him there. You're going to be relying on guys like Paul Martin and Scuderi and Aronoff to play your left side, and are they good enough? And Dupree and Bortuzzo, you need a two-way defenseman, Ezzy.
Yep.
Up forward, I mean, I don't think you really need anything, frankly. Look at their forwards, they're pretty good. I mean, if you want to beggars be choosers, and not beggars be choosers, but if you want to have luxury,
sure.
Excuse me, the luxury would be another winger maybe instead of Blake Como. But in reality, it's defensemen. And what defenseman is that? They've done the Mihalik thing before. It didn't really work with the style of play, and they probably play as offensive, if not more offensive, than they used to. We mentioned on Wednesday's show a guy like Braden Coburn would fit in really well, two-way, kind of, you know, see what they're doing there. That's what they need.
I can't see them. I can't see Philly. Whether or not they should, they should, obviously, if it improves their team. I just can't see Philly and Pittsburgh.
Maybe you look at San Jose and say, we'll give you a few pieces that you need to fill. We'll give you Kunitz. We'll give you a defenseman. We'll give you something for Brent Burns.
Well, that would certainly make
now, he's
difference.
Not great defensively, granted, but maybe something like that. Pittsburgh and San Jose, I could see matching up. But Pittsburgh, I don't think, is done yet. He's been very active, Rutherford.
Yeah, it's a defenseman. They've gone out and they've gotten grittier and gotten a guy like Lapierre, and you mentioned Downey, Drew. This team didn't like... They got pushed around a little bit last year, and they got pushed around a little bit by the Jackets, and they got pushed around a little bit by the Rangers there mm-hmm. in the second round, and that's why they've gone out and gotten those players. And you look at the defense, and again, this team, it needs Crosby and Malkin scoring. This team has been really kind of stagnant. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to get out of the second round of the playoffs now since they won the Stanley Cup in 2009. So I agree with Richie. You want a defenseman, but you don't just want an offensive defenseman, or Mike Green or a Keith Andrew. You want a guy that can play both ways because I think, you know, Chris Letang is back and healthy. They have guys that can move the puck. Paul Martin can play on the power play mm-hmm. too. You need a guy that can help you defensively.
You know, when was the last time, Pittsburgh's always been an active team the last number of years at the trade deadline. When was the last time they really made the right acquisition at the deadline, though?
Hossa?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how many years ago now?
They didn't win that year, but they went to Game 7.
Yeah. And that's what?
Or Game 6.
Is that, no, that was Game 7, I believe. They lost. Was that not 5 years ago?
They lost in 6 and won 7, I think. What?
Was that not 5 years ago at this point?
Oh, at least, yeah. More than that, I think.
They've certainly been active each and every...
08. They didn't. They lost to Detroit, so that was 7 years ago.
Yeah, so they've been active at each and every season at the trade deadline, not necessarily.
Well, when you got
right
Crosby
moves.
And Malkin.
Yeah, well, when you got Crosby and Malkin, you're going to have to be active at the trade deadline.
Well, your right moves would be what? 2009 when they acquired Hal Gill from Toronto? Is that what we're going back to here?
Well, no, I'm just saying this is a team that.
Bill Guerin, that was the right move.
Okay. But, I mean,
it's not always the right move, Drew.
It's not always the right move, but they want to get back to the Stanley Cup, and it's been a while since they've been there. And with Crosby and Malkin, you'd think you'd be there almost perennially.
It's not the way it works.
I know. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
One final segment Saturday afternoon here on TSN 1290 as we go through our division by division, team by team, previewing the NHL's trade deadline coming up on Monday, Trade Center 2015. Full day comprehensive coverage starts bright and early, 6 a.m. with the big show, goes right up until 8 p.m. where a special edition of NHL Midweek will wrap up the entirety of a busy day in the NHL. Of course, tomorrow afternoon, the Jets and the Kings, 3 p.m. at MTS Center.
Drew, what song is this?
Why do you have to be a jerk?
this is covered.
Blinded by the Light.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
I was
somebody
on the tip
you?
Of my tongue, but...
Did Remus tell you that?
No, nobody told me that.
Remus tell you? No?
No, I knew it. It just took me a second to process it. I'm not as sharp as you are, and you have to
Who
point
covered
out
this, Drew? Who covered this song?
Who covered this song?
Yeah, I mean, Bruce didn't make it... This is Bruce's first track on his first album ever.
Okay.
Like with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. But the song got big with Manfred Mann.
Yeah, I wasn't going to know that.
That's back in your day.
Even so, I wasn't going to know that. You know that I'm not a big music guy.
Manfred Mann and the Earth, was it the Earth Band, I think? Yeah, I think so.
Does anybody know what Richard's talking about? Ezzy, do you have a clue what he's talking about? No? Okay, good. Let's talk about the Washington Capitals, the final
play. I wish I had a band called the Earth Band.
I wish you would stop talking. Yeah. That's what I wish for right now, is that you would stop talking. We have 15 minutes left on the show, and we got five teams to get through.
Earth to Drew.
Earth to Drew. Okay, be quiet now. Washington Capitals. They are firmly in the first wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. Right now, if the playoffs were to begin today, they would play actually the New York Islanders in the first round. This is a team that, you know, we've talked about Mike Green. They made an acquisition earlier today, acquiring Tim Gleason from the Washington, from the Carolina Hurricanes in exchange for Jack Hillen and a draft pick. You know, let's talk about the Gleason acquisition.
Well,
and
we
talk
said they had a third side left, a third pairing left side D.
That's what we said, is that they need a third pairing left side D, and is that what they...
That's what they've acquired. Gleason is, you know, Hillen's a different defenseman than Gleason. He's a little more of a puck mover, smaller guy. Gleason's bigger, tougher, shot blocker. He'll play with Mike Green. I don't think Mike Green's going anywhere here. I mean, personally, I don't think so. I think Gleason is a nice addition here. I actually don't mind Jack Hillen. I think he could fit somewhere in a bottom pairing role for cheap. But you're looking from Washington's perspective, good team, solid defense, good combination of defensive defensemen and offensive guys. And I think they had a top six forward here.
Sure. Yeah, and you heard that Patrick Sharp might be going there,
yeah.
Which doesn't mean it's necessarily happening, but you know that the two teams were talking. So this team has really taken that next step, and they didn't make the playoffs last year, but you know, we've talked about this team quite a bit this year. It's pretty deep, and even though, you know, you might look at the defense a little bit, and you might say that some of the players aren't necessarily game-changing defensemen. I think John Carlson and Carl Osner, to me, are the keys in addition to Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen. Those guys have really matured into all-around defensemen.
Yeah, they're good.
And Braden Holtby's been better this year. Mm-hmm. And Alex Ovechkin, I think, has really benefited from Barry Trotz and his mentorship. So, you know, I don't know if they necessarily need a top six forward. If you have watched them play this year, they're a pretty well-balanced team.
You know, we saw them, I guess that was a couple weeks ago when the Jets played in Washington. We'll see them again on a Saturday coming up in about 3 weeks' time or so. But that was an impressive team we saw.
You might be a little bit concerned, Richie, that, you know, you've got Burakovsky and Kuznetsov who are young players.
Yeah.
So you maybe that's a bit of a concern if you're the Washington Capitals. But, you know, it's a dangerous team. It's a team that's very deep.
To me, one more top six guy and you're as good as anybody.
Well, I mean, that's the Patrick Sharp rumors.
Depending on what they give up.
You hear conflicting reports whether or not it's actually there's truth to it. I mean,
I think there's truth to it, Drew.
Well, you got a guy
he's out there.
You got a guy like Jamal Myers who just came out today and said there's no truth to it, and then you got a guy like Chris Cook who said that there is truth to it. Both of them are relatively plugged in, I would say. Chris Cook, isn't it?
Cook.
Is it Cook? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. KUC.
There's too many cooks in the kitchen here.
Yeah. Guy who covers the team for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Tribune.
Covers the team
for Chicago.
Come on,
Drew. Not a good segment so far.
I knew his
name
was Chris.
Didn't get the Bruce song.
Yeah.
I got the Bruce song.
Did you know
it
that Chris Cook was in Manfred Mann's Earth Band?
In any event, you know, it seems like there's a little smoke and fire where it comes to Patrick Sharp. We'll see if anything happens by Monday. But in any event, that's something they certainly keep.
That would be a big one, Drew. Like, if you're talking about who can really make a difference and not that, again, I think we talked about the Eastern Conference. Washington can beat teams. I mean, Washington can beat Pittsburgh. Washington can beat Detroit. I mean, they've got a lot of talent there.
You put Patrick Sharp on one of those wings in their top six. That's, I mean, really, that's making them a real dangerous team. And the way Barry Trotz has that team believing and that team going and has Alex Ovechkin completely bought in is a good sign for Washington Capitals fans. Continuing on in the Metropolitan Division, the Philadelphia Flyers. A team that really hasn't...
if no penny UFAs of consequence, and they have a dire need for young defensemen. So I think you're probably looking at Coburn possibly being others. Mark Streit, I'm sure, is on the market. I'm sure all their guys are on the market. Luke Shen's for sure on the market. I bet you Braden Shen's on the market as well. All these guys are available. I just don't know if there's going to be a market for those players.
Does trading Coburn help them? I mean, how does trading Coburn make sense, given their need for the defense?
Why, Drew? Because I think you're looking bigger picture here if you're Philly, and you're looking at Braden Coburn being at $4 million next year, cap money-wise, 4.5 cap hit, and then he's a UFA. How much is it going to cost you to sign him? You've already overpaid Andrew McDonald. You already overpaid Mark Streit. You have to start apportioning your money properly, and Coburn is 29. I like Braden Coburn. I think they probably don't love his inconsistency, which I can understand. Yes, but I think they want to get some money off the books here. So I think Coburn, and he gets them a lot. He gets them more than Streit, and McDonald's contract's probably untradeable. So I think that he's the guy who gets you, and Luke Shen, contract probably not untradeable, but player isn't very valuable. So I think he's going to get you the most. And you want to re-sign Del Zotto probably. And I think they're on the market.
They just signed Nick Schultz to a 2-year contract.
Yeah, but a reasonable number, not the crazy numbers like before.
2.1 or something?
Yeah, 2.25 a year.
A year.
Yeah, they want to get younger. And they're obviously not going to move Giroux, Voracek, or Wayne Simmonds, I would imagine. If you want one of those guys, you're going to have to give up a lot, because those are three That's really right. good players. And you could even put in, I really like Sean Couturier in there. I don't think they want to move him.
Yeah,
but if they offer the right price, the right combination of players and draft picks, maybe they consider it. But Richie's right. They're rebuilding here.
They don't want money back. They want no money back.
And by the way, I think that with you know the players we were just talking about, Claude Giroux, Wayne Simmonds, Couturier, they can rebuild a lot quicker than other teams.
100%.
And that, totally you agree. Can't say the same, for example, the Arizona Coyotes or you know other teams like that. Edmonton Oilers, for example, I don't think they're still too young to be able to turn this around in a couple of years, Drew. So I think, again, if someone offers you something for Mark Streit or Braden Coburn, Richie, which offers you maybe a defense prospect or a second-round pick, you take it.
You want to get rid of players. You want to get money off the books.
Can you get Matt Reed out of there?
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah, 3.6 cap hit. I mean, it seems like R.J. Umberger you're probably saddled with.
Isn't Reed under contract for one more year?
No, Reed's got three more years.
Reed's got three more years.
Yeah, so you're going to have to give up probably a roster player or a prospect for Reed. Because Reed right now is playing left wing on your second line or third line with Couturier, right? Mm-hmm. So I like Reed. He's a good player, but he hasn't had as good of a year as last year. But I think with the term, you know, that's an interesting one, Drew.
Ideally, you want Reed in your top nine playing a third line wing role.
Yeah, and that's where he usually is. But, you know, they've had their roster's been all. I mean, you got LeCavalier Richie playing on the fourth line, and they can't get rid of that contract.
No, they want to get rid of money. They don't trade anybody they can to get rid of money.
New Jersey Devils have a number of free agents. Steve Bernier, Jordan Tutu, Michael Ryder, Scott Gomez, Marek Zdlicki, Peter Harold, Bryce Salvador, who's injured.
Yep.
Lots of free agents. Martin Havlath is apparently healthy, and he's going to be a healthy scratch tonight because he's on the trade block.
This seems literally from 2004.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Ryder, if San Jose wants to do the same old, and be cheap, I guess Ryder would fit there on the right side, possibly beside Thornton because he can shoot the puck. Not a great skater. All these guys are going to go for very little, though. There's nobody on here with much value.
No, and Havlat's been really bad this year. Yeah. Again, Drew, if someone offers you something fair for any of the Bryce Salvador has been out most of the year. They're not trading him. So again, what Richie said, Ryder. If someone wants to add one of these guys and give up like a third or fourth round pick, I don't think they're getting a second round pick because they're rentals, right?
Yeah,
and that was actually a good move on Lamoriello's part. He only gave Havlat a 1 year deal, so he's not stuck with that contract. But again, if you're the Devils, you're trying to get as many draft picks as you can.
You're just trading anybody that somebody's calling you for. You're
well, because you haven't drafted as well. David Conte, who's in previous years made some unbelievable had unbelievable draft years and getting guys late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even trading up for Parise was a great move, but they haven't had a top six forward or a top four defenseman. Guys like Josephson and Larson haven't turned out. So you gotta rebuild the cupboard there. And you know that's why even getting second and third round draft picks they matter.
That's what happens when you let Parise and Kovalchuk leaves you. But Parise and Kovalchuk, they go for nothing.
Sure,
and it's 30 to 40 goal scorers for nothing.
Well, you mentioned that we talked about it a couple hours ago. If somebody calls you up about Henrik or Zajac, why aren't you listening?
You probably listen to everybody, I think.
I think Henrik is one of the guys that really they don't want to trade. I'm not saying he's untouchable,
but
as far as how young he is and
his cap hit's reasonable.
I don't know if that's one of the guys they don't want to move. But again, I don't think he's untouchable. I don't know if anybody's untouchable on this team these days.
Columbus,
maybe Schneider.
They don't have truth be told, they don't have a ton on the books for later. I mean, they don't want the Klo contract or probably the Zajac contract as big as it is on the books for the next few years. But they don't have a ton of money on the books past next season.
Columbus Blue Jackets, they've suffered a season with, I think everybody was injured on that team at some point in time or another. Jordan Leopold, Mark Letestu, those guys are UFAs coming up at the end of the season.
And they need cheap forwards because they got a lot of money in Clarkson and Johansson and Foligno and Hartnell and Dubinsky now. And they could use some young defensemen. I think they have a lot of guys defense. As you're kind of interchangeable, you hear Wisniewski's now on the market. He's not great defensively. Yeah. Leopold would be a nice fit, even for like a team that needs a depth guy who can move the puck. So, I mean, even Winnipeg, I mean...
Does Matt Calvert's injury take him off the...
concussion. I mean, that's tough because he's kind of, that'll inhibit his ability to go to the net. I think Atkinson probably goes. I think Columbus will be pretty active here.
Yeah, they're obviously sellers, Drew. Yeah. We know that. Mm-hmm. And Atkinson... Again, we mentioned that Chicago apparently is pretty interested in him, so maybe he goes there. I think there'd be a few teams that want him. He's a speedy guy who's got some good hands. But Columbus, again, they're not rebuilding because this year,
You almost get an asterisk for it.
It's not a rebuilding year. Retooling. But it's retooling. Because this team, and again, Ryan Murray is one of those guys that, I mean, he has the ability, you listen to people who watch him, Aaron Portzline of the Columbus Dispatch, who always raves about him, how good he is, but he's always injured.
Yeah.
So, Richie's right. It's a young team, and they're going in the right direction. So, again, if you can get a couple draft picks or maybe a depth player for one of these guys, you do it.
Last team, the Carolina Hurricanes. They've already been quite active. I mean, they shipped out Gleason earlier today.
Let's skip ahead with the rhetoric, Richie, because we know who could be traded. But the big thing for me is, are you going to trade Eric Staal or Jeff Skinner or move one of these guys? To me, because I mean, you can talk all you want. Tulusti got moved, but to me, the rest of these guys, we saw Gleason move. Aside from the Stalls and Jeff Skinner, is anybody of note? You're not trading Elias Lindholm.
No, I think McClement goes to team to help the fourth line.
Yeah,
that's what I think. All out that happens. The rest of the guys, I don't think there's anybody wants. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, and then anybody wanted has already been dealt. Whether it was Gleason or Toulouse,
there weren't many guys either.
What's that?
To be able to get for those picks, to be for those players, to be able to get, a first rounder for Sequeira, mm-hmm. and to be able to get the couple picks for Toulouse, you've done fine. I mean, that's all you want to do.
Sure.
And then you want to be as far into this race as possible for the top pick here.
Yeah, for the McDavid or Eichel. They're certainly in the heart of that draft. That's it for this Saturday afternoon in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, our trade deadline preview show. We hope you enjoyed it. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the Linden Market Dental Center and Bernstein's Deli, also Royal Sports and Knott Auto Corp. Reminders, Monday, Trade Center 2015 all day long here on TSN 1290.
Going to be great.
Should be great. Richie's on at 11 to 3 with Rick, and then we wrap it up with a special Monday edition of NHL Midweek here on this fine station. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Michael Remus and producer Chris Curry, for Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.